And here we go, here we go.
You're listening to another episode of the Gingers Talk Football Podcast.
Ready? Ready.
Bringing you the hottest previews, picks, recaps, and analysis from around the NFL. Here's your hosts, two tortured fans, proud gingers, and brothers from another mother. Literally. French Golden and Craig Fountain.
Welcome to Gingers Talk Football. This is episode 65, and we are here. Football is back. We're going to have football for Thursday night. It is the Dallas Cowboys and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right. So I'm excited to get into this. Real quick, let's touch on a couple of things in the news. And man, here's something that I never thought I'd see. And that is Le'Veon Bell signing in Baltimore. Not just signing in Baltimore, he's on the practice squad. So he's Justice Hill is out. He's on injured reserve after tearing his Achilles. And J.K. Dobbins, we all know, is out to a torn ACL. And Le'Veon Bell is on the practice squad. Pretty crazy. Didn't think I'd see the day.
No, especially coming from, you know, you are very familiar with Le'Veon Bell. You, as a Cleveland Browns fan, you've seen him play in Pittsburgh. But we also see him have stints in New York and Kansas City. You know, good for him trying to keep his career alive going into Baltimore. You know, with the loss of J.K. Dobbins, that completely hurts a lot of people. But now it's time for Gus Edwards to come up. But with Le'Veon Bell, it's more of a depth signing. You know, we kind of see this trend a little bit with, like, running backs, like, who've had, like, you know, some success in their career go over to a different team and sign on their practice squad for, you know, really. So, like, Duke Johnson the other day signed with the Jags on their practice squad. I mean, for you, you are more familiar with Le'Veon Bell than anybody because of the division you're in. Do you foresee him eventually making up to the depth chart and maybe being RB3, RB2 behind, you know, Gus Edwards?
You know, I think that there's a good possibility that he ends up working his way up. I mean, realistically, some of this is going to be learning the playbook, getting familiar with the team, things like that. I don't think this is long term, but they're going to have to see some things from him in order to put him on the active roster. You know, I think we can all agree that Le'Veon Bell has had, or, you know, one time he was one of the premier running backs in this league, and the physical talent was there. I don't know if it's a want to thing, if his wheels are falling off, if it's something to do with age. I'm not sure what it is, but I think that at some point he will absolutely make the 53 with Baltimore. Whether or not he's active on game day, whether or not he can eat into carries for Gus Edwards, I don't know. It's, you know, that's something that's going to be, that's going to remain to be seen. But certainly an interesting tidbit. Just never really pictured Le'Veon Bell in a Baltimore uniform, much less on somebody's practice squad. So that's going to happen, though. You know, a lot of times with signings this time of year, put them on the practice squad. Nobody's in danger. I mean, I guess technically there is some danger that somebody else might pick them up, but if somebody else wanted them, they would have went and got them. So they get to pay him a little bit of money, not what he's used to, and he's on the team. He can learn the playbook, so.
Yeah, and he can still play too. I mean, we're seeing a lot of running backs, in my opinion, like not hold up as they used to be, if that's the right phrase for it. Like Devontae Freeman getting released by the Saints the other day. You have, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the Saints. And then you have, you know, Duke Johnson on our practice squad. Now you have Le'Veon Bell on our practice squad. You have Todd Gurley not even playing right now. I mean, and they're all relatively young guys. I don't know. Our running backs just not made, you know, how they used to be? Is it just becoming more of a, I know it's becoming more of a pass friendly game, and but I mean, these guys are getting injured like all the time now. They're just not as durable they used to be anymore. I don't know if the game's changed or just running backs aren't physical as they used to be. I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that question or not.
Well, I mean, it's a combination of things, because you know, running backs have always had a shorter shelf life. That's a tongue twister. I'm surprised I got out. They have a shorter shelf life, but there's other things to take into consideration. Everybody's bigger, faster, stronger now. Even some of these smaller guys, I mean, you're changing direction from a much, you know, you have far more kinetic energy with the speed these guys have today. So change of direction, playing surfaces, you know, some of the advancements in equipment should remedy some of this. But we have seen so many ACLs and Achilles and things like that. It's really hard to pinpoint it. And, you know, neither of us are doctors, but it certainly is interesting. He's getting up there in age. I don't know. I think Gus Edwards is going to own this room. He's going to get the bulk of the carries, and I think he's going to perform really well. He's going to make a lot of fantasy owners happy, but they're a run first team. So in the event that something were to happen to Gus Edwards, they certainly need guys to supplement their run game with between Lamar Jackson and the rest of the running back room. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I'm high on Gus Edwards, dude. I'm so happy. I got him in one of my fantasy leagues. I don't know if it's with you or a different one, but I forget. But I'm high on Gus Edwards for fantasy this year. I'm kind of excited for him.
It's not our fantasy league because we drafted a little bit earlier than we like to. Before the final preseason game. But sometimes the ball bounces your way. Sometimes it doesn't. I picked up James Robinson and Gus Edwards before the ETN and J.K. Dobbins news broke out. So it just kind of, for once, the ball bounced my way. Doesn't happen every year, but, you know, I'm not going to complain. Some other people might.
You got lucky on that one.
There was some, there were some people doing some traveling. There was a wedding that would have prevented us from doing it Labor Day weekend, things like that. Nobody's to blame. Those people shouldn't feel bad, but we did try to accommodate everybody. Just pushed it a little earlier than what we would have liked, so.
That's fair enough.
I am curious. Did you see that Cam Newton, all right, he is going to, quote unquote, get some things off of his chest on Friday on his he calls it like Funky Friday or something like that. And he is saying that he wants to, it's not going to be a retirement speech, but he's going to want to talk and get some things, quote unquote, off his chest. Did you see that?
No, I have actually not. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. Enlighten me.
So bear with me here because I'm pulling it back up. I hate autoplay on videos because when you have headphones on, it just takes over everything. So
yeah,
I started talking funky there. I was trying to talk over the audio in my ear.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So he said, on this week's Funky Friday, I have a lot of things I need to get off my chest. This is not a retirement speech, and I have a lot of football still in me. So it begs the question, like, what does he want to talk about, and how interesting is this information going to be? Presumably, it's got to be something regarding Carolina or New England. There's a former player that came out and said, listen, Mac Jones was teaching Cam the playbook in practice. Mac Jones had all the knowledge that Cam should have had. And this is, Cam's a veteran. This isn't his first year, you know, in this offense. And you have Mac Jones coming in and tutoring Cam Newton. So I don't know if that speaks more to Mac Jones or to Cam Newton's lack of motivation or mental ability or whatever. I don't know. But that I can't wait to see what he has to say.
I think he's going to retire.
No. He straight up said this isn't a retirement speech. How can you say that like 2 days before you give a speech?
Okay, not like retire, but I think he's gonna take a break. I don't know. Like, I think I know it's not a retirement speech. I didn't mean like retired like that. I think he's gonna take a sabbatical. I think that's the right word. I don't know, man. There's a lot going on with him. I mean, ever since he's left Carolina, since that injury, he's just never been the same. I mean, I'm a Cam guy, and anybody who listens to our show knows that. I love Cam Newton. I love his tenacity, but I know it's not a retirement speech, but I think he's going to take a step away from the game for a little bit to get his mind right. I mean,
Ricky Williams thing. He's like going to be like, listen, guys, I'll be back. Don't worry, but I'm going to go hit all 7 continents and smoke a lot of weed. And when I get back, I'll be in the right headspace.
I mean, hey, if he's got to go see Antarctica and see the penguins and hit a joint to get his mind right, let him go for it. I think he's going to take a little break from football. I think football right now is not the – I hate to say a quarterback – football for a quarterback is not the best thing right now for him. but I think he has a lot of distractions going on right now, man. I think it was ever since COVID too, he's not been the same. I think he's going to take a year off and get his mind really right. And because he's only like, what, 32, 33? He's not that old. He still has, I would say Cam Newton has about, realistically, about 4 or 5 years left in this league, really. I don't think you're going to see Cam Newton play until he's 40. Now, there's 4 to 5 years actual mean playing time. That just means 4 to 5 years in the league, whether he's a starter quarterback or a backup, in my opinion. But I think he's going to take sabbatical. I think he's going to take a step back from the game for a little while and really get his mind right. Because, I mean, at that point, if you know the thing you love the most isn't helping you no more, and you still love it, but you still want to do it, you're going to have to take a step back and realize, you know what, I got to focus on more what's around me first. And he's probably taking more time for himself because he knows he's not doing the best he can, and he's not doing the best he can for himself too. So that's kind of like my take on it.
Whatever he says is going to have a ton of impact on what happens next. I mean, one poorly worded sentence and he could scare off every future employer he might have had otherwise. So I can't wait to see what he has to say, because he's an interesting guy. Hopefully he's taking ownership of the way his career has trended and not making excuses. You start making excuses, you're going to start losing interest. But all right. So other than that, not a ton of news going on. You have the Texans trading Bradley Roby to the Saints. So the Saints get some secondary help there. TJ Watt, no progress yet for contract talks with the Steelers. So they're kind of I would be surprised if something got done there, especially before the start of the season. As far as Deshaun Watson goes, Tyrod Taylor's the guy in Houston, and they're going to say things, but I think that I would be surprised if Deshaun Watson played football this year. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would be surprised, if Deshaun Watson did play football this year too. No surprise they're keeping him on the active 53-man roster. Well, on the 53-man roster, but he's inactive. I'm not surprised that all is happening. I as a Jags fan, because we play Houston week one, I mean, I think my balls will go to my stomach if I see Deshaun Watson walk on the field. Makes me a little happier Tyrod Taylor's, going on the field, but good luck. I hope Tyrod Taylor actually has a decent year, because he just never had a break in this league. I hope he has a great year. I don't know if we're going to see Davis Mills come in, the rookie quarterback from Stanford. I don't know if we're going to see him come in and not this year. But, I mean, for right now, yeah, Tyrod Taylor's QB1. He's been in the league for a while. He's a vet. He's played with, three other teams. Let him go ahead and just, do what he can. Are the Texans going to be good this year? I doubt it. But at least he can give them some direction, or at least coach Davis Mills for this next year to get him ready for next year, or wherever Deshaun Watson, if he decides to stay or go, I don't know. So
they need to get Davis Mills in there. Like, yeah, I'm rooting for Tyrod too, because he got cut in Buffalo because they wanted to rebuild the team. He goes to Cleveland, gets a concussion. Baker Mayfield takes over for Tyrod Taylor. The rest is history there. And then he goes to, where was it, L.A., and a doctor punctures his lung. And then the same thing happens to him there. Now it's Justin Herbert. He's going to Houston. But realistically, if I'm Houston, I'm looking at playing Davis Mills. Now, they're not committing to Tyrod.
Right.
Or
right.
Davis Mills, or Deshaun Watson, for that matter, for the rest of the season. They're threatening to deactivate him for every game, but they're also saying we're going to take it a day by day. So realistically, week two, they could throw him in there as the starter, and nobody has to eat their words. So, it's kind of weird. They're actually handling it okay from a team perspective, but that's a tough situation to handle. But I don't know. I don't think we'll see Deshaun Watson.
No, they're gonna hold on to him the rest of the year. Depending on where the Texans fall, in the draft. I think we all won't be surprised if they're number one overall draft pick next year in 2022 draft. They're probably going to – if Davis Mills isn't the answer for them, because his sample size in college is small, he has an injury history. If he's not the guy for them, and they know damn right Tyrod Taylor is not the guy for them, they're going to end up being a Jacksonville – they're going to have a Jacksonville year this year and go get their guy on in the first overall pick, and they're probably going to ship off Deshaun Watson to some team and get a lot of picks for him. So – I think that's my kind of guess for the Texans going to next year, because they're not committing to a quarterback this year. They're not. They're just going to see how far they're evaluating this year. That's what they're doing this year.
All right. And then I think the one other thing to touch on, which we could kind of just presume, was San Francisco's committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. He's listed as the starter on their initial depth chart for the 2021 season. I think some of it might have to do with an injury to Lance. You know, Trey Lance is having an issue with one of his fingers, if I recall. And, so Garoppolo's kind of the starter by default. Kyle Shanahan gets to save some face with Jimmy G. And then, from there, I guess we'll see how it kind of shakes out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lance, kind of gets some game time, Taysom Hill style, maybe not as, he won't be in as much danger as Taysom Hill was. Kind of the same thing's going to go for Justin Fields with Andy Dalton starting in Chicago. But, you know, my camera cut out there for a second. Sorry. But, you know, it's – I don't know. What do you think of that whole scenario?
I think it's right. I think Jimmy G belongs to QB1 for this team. Not even two, 3 years ago, he was in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. At one point, they were going to win that game before Patrick Mahomes – really showed you who Patrick Mahomes was at the highest level of any sport, really. It's right for Jimmy G to be the QB1. I completely agree with it. You know, I like Trey Lance a lot because of his intelligence, his tenacity, and what he's done with such a small sample size in college. I love it. And I'm a Trey Lance guy. I am too, but I just think he needs a lot more time in the NFL, maybe the next 2 to 3 years, to really kind of show himself and improve on himself as well too. But it's right for Jimmy G to be the QB1 because he was there with a lot of those guys in the Super Bowl a few years ago too. So I'm for it. I like it. You know, it doesn't hurt to put, you know, Trey Lance in there for some schemes and different packages, see how he can do. But it's right for Jimmy G to be the QB1. And I mean, and that's a tough division to be in, especially the other three quarterbacks you're playing. So I would go with the guy who knows how to play these other three teams and who's been at the highest level before. So that's fair to say to me that Jimmy G is the guy for right now.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get into our Thursday night football preview. And we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And do you have the line handy for that by chance, French?
Yeah, I do, actually. Let me go ahead and pull it up real quick. So the over and under right now is 51.5. And then the spread is anywhere from, I'm seeing from eight points to 8.5 points spread.
All right. What are you looking for specifically in this game? And what do you think about that line and that over under?
What I'm thinking is this game is, it's gonna be a high scoring game because you have two elevated offense going into this game. You have Tom Brady and company with Rojo, Leonard Fournette, you have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski. You have the Super Bowl champs. Come on. Going into Dallas, having Dallas come into Raymond James Stadium. And the Cowboys are, they're really hyped up when it comes to their offense. On paper, they're excellent. You have Dak Prescott, you have Ezekiel Elliott, you have Michael Gallup, you have Amari Cooper, you have CeeDee Lamb. Holy shit, these guys are good on offense too. So 51.5 points, high scoring game, not a problem at all. I am actually okay with the over and under on that one. What worries me is the point spread. Now, Tampa Bay is an 8-point favorite going to this game. That's a big spread. If people who follow Vegas lines follow the NFL, they look up the over and under as a point spread, you're going to realize it's a big spread. I thought it'd be closer for how hyped up the Cowboys offense is going to be. You look a lot of stuff on Instagram, Twitter. A lot of the Cowboys offense is top five in projections this year. I look at it as like, okay, yeah, they're good, but like, are we really saying Tampa Bay's offense is that good to be 8-point spread against the Cowboys? But my thing is too, the defense on the Cowboys has gotten a lot better, along with the Buccaneers, who are returning all their 11 stars on defense. So the over-under seems fair to me. The point spread, I don't know. I think it should be a little closer.
So Tom Brady's outstanding in season opening games. He's 14-4. That's a lot of season openers he's played. He also he had the year he was suspended, and there's some other games in there. So that doesn't cover his entire career, but every single season opener he's been 14-4. I think that he is as good as he's ever been. I mean, he had a second best year, second most throwing touchdowns last year in his entire career. That's saying something for his age and experience. He's got a healthy Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, which he didn't necessarily have all of last year. And I have less faith in the Cowboys defense than I do the Bucs defense. What the Bucs are doing in their roster construction and keeping everybody on board, it's almost unprecedented. And it's super impressive. I think that this is an opportunity for Dallas to really start the season hot, which is what they need to do in that division. But I think Tampa Bay is going to be a lot more than they can handle. Now, I expect Dak Prescott to throw a lot of balls this game. Mm-hmm. I think Dallas is going to be playing from behind. I think Tampa Bay is going to be more than capable of putting up a lot of points on Dallas, but I'm not sure that even though Dallas is going to be chucking it downfield and things like that, I'm not sure the game's going to be super close. I'm okay with the spread. I don't know. I just see this as a pretty straightforward. I'm picking the Buccaneers with or without the spread, you know? So, but, you know, Buccaneers are going to win. They're going to cover the spread. I don't know if we're going to see it go over, but I have full faith in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I agree with you. The spread, yeah, I mean, the point spread that I know we're a difference on, I think it should be a little more closer. Just because, like, I think for how much hype the Dallas Cowboys are getting going into the season, whether it be through Hard Knocks, through social media, through Dak being ready, through, you know, Zeke, it being Zeke's year, whatever you want to say, I think it should be closer, but I am going with the Buccaneers to win this opener game in week one. I think with being a reigning Super Bowl champions, you're playing your first game at home on Thursday Night Football. I mean, that's just be electrifying. Tom Brady coming out to a crowd, a full crowd this year. I love the Bucs to win. I'm going to go close with this game because only because of what I'm seeing for the Cowboys offense of them being that good. I'm going to go 27-24. Buccaneers. Just because, like I said, the Cowboys offense, who they have as their weapons, how they're being portrayed in the media, how they're being portrayed through, hell, even Hard Knocks and these guys being ready to go. So I think it's be a one possession game, pretty much being a field goal difference maker for the Thursday Night Football game. But I'm hoping to see both offenses go out there and be electrifying. You're going to see Dak Prescott throwing 40 plus passes because it all depends, too, on how Zeke starts the game as well, too. If Zeke's not, you know, handling the ball well, and, you know how Tampa Bay's front four is, and their front seven really is that good. I foresee having the Cowboys having a hard time rushing the ball against the Buccaneers, but I see Dak having a good game coming back from his injury, so I'm excited to see that.
You know, it's the Buccaneers returning all 22 starters is insane to me, especially when they're the defending Super Bowl champions. You know, Dallas is going to be without Zach Martin on the offensive line. That's going to play a role, especially with Tampa Bay's defense being there. My prediction for this game is going to be a little bit more uneven. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay 34, Dallas 17.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're, I think
really complete opposites there.
Yeah. So Tampa Bay is going to win by 20 points, essentially, I think. Almost three touchdowns. It'll be around there. We're still at like roughly 50 points, 51 points, right around that over under. But I don't think it's going to be as close, so to say. So I think Tampa Bay is going to start out 1-0. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited to watch regular season football again, to see the starters play all four quarters. I just can't wait. My biggest thing with Dallas, if they can figure out how to work Zeke back in. Now, Zeke, mind you, is terrible when Prescott doesn't play. Zeke is terrible when Prescott doesn't play. If they can find some way to start off the season in return to form with Dak being back, and, you know, that could mean that could make this game a lot closer than it normally would be. So I think that's my caveat there. If Dallas has a chance, it's going to be through that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to have to chase points because I have a lot more faith, like I said, in the Bucs defense. Fun fact, Josh Allen's over, I think, the past 2 years has more rushing touchdowns than Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, since 20. Yeah, exactly. Since 2018.
Just throwing that out there.
I like that stat, though. Josh Allen's a bad man. I mean, yeah, you're right. I saw that the other day, too. Josh Allen has had 25 since 2018, and Zeke Elliott has had 24.
What? Yeah, and actually, you know, we're not talking about fantasy football necessarily, but if you look at the fantasy football impact, sometimes that can expose things in real life football. So one of the, if you play fantasy football, an interesting split, just so you know, is with Dak in the game, I think Zeke averages over 20 fantasy football points per game. Without Dak in the game, it's like 12. So his production's cut by like nearly 50% when Dak is off the field, both from a fantasy perspective and ultimately fantasy points are scored based on real life production. So, you know, obviously there's other things there, but I think it's pretty cut and dry. Dak on the field, Zeke plays well. Dak's not on the field, Zeke doesn't play well. It just is what it is.
That's not the healthy philosophy, though. I hope he realizes that that's not a healthy philosophy. But I can see it, though. I mean, what, Dak came in the league at 16. Zeke came in the league at, what, 17? So they've been there ever since. They've been there together, pretty much a one-year difference, really. They both had the same goals in mind. I mean, maybe Dak can do stuff that Zeke is more familiar with, because rather than, like, Ben DiNucci coming in or Andy Dalton or Gary Gilbert, excuse me, like whoever it is. So he knows that Dak Prescott can offer more than what those other three quarterbacks he's been playing with over the past, you know, year can do. So I am looking for that. I am looking for Zeke to have a big game, or a big game really, but a big year too for the Cowboys. So, but dude, the tone gets set Thursday night. You're playing the reigning Super Bowl champs in their home stadium after they won the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Holy shit, that's like, you can't ask for bigger pressure. But if this is a test for the Cowboys, the Buccaneers is a test for them to see how they really do. So I don't know.
Outstanding. All right. So this is going to be an abbreviated episode. We are going to be back later this week with the rest of our predictions for Sunday and Monday. Sunday, all the Sunday games and Monday night game. We are switching to video. If this all goes well, this is our experimental video episode. So if you're listening in the car, if you find us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on, we have soon to get YouTube set up
soon on TikTok. I got a TikTok account created, so we'll be on there soon too. So we,
yeah,
like Craig said, we've been handling this with care, but also with caution too, you know?
Yeah. We're not, diving in head first, so to speak. It's kind of a slow process. So, we're trying to make sure that the video doesn't take away from the audio, because we are audio first. That's the way this has kind of started. And until something tells us not to be, you know, we want to make sure that we're audio first. But some people like that visual aspect. If you want to play the video and you know, things like that, it'll hopefully be there for you moving forward. So with that being said, we're out. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Ginger's Talk Football. Subscribe now so you don't miss an episode. And be sure to leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Twitter at Official Gingers. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Ginger's Talk Football.